あのユダヤ人大量惨殺ごっこやろうって言った時のな。
そうそうそうそうそう。戸田さん怒ってたな。
That's the sound from a Japanese language comedy skit referencing the Holocaust, and not in a good way. The clip is from over 20 years ago, and it's the one that caused Tokyo Olympic organizers a heap of embarrassment. As you've probably heard, they had to fire the designer of the Olympics opening ceremonies the night before it was scheduled to go on 2 weeks ago, because he was one of the actors in that video. Roughly speaking, they were parodying a famous Japanese kids' TV show, but one of their jokes was about playing the Holocaust game. Well, the fuss has since died down, and the athletes are winding up their events, and the games close on Sunday. But how Japan dealt with the Holocaust controversy is being closely watched by a Canadian math professor. His own parents were saved from the Holocaust by Japan's national hero, Chiyune Sugihara. Sugihara is often considered Japan's Schindler. He was a Japanese diplomat based in Lithuania during the early years of the Second World War, and he issued over 2,000 visas to Jewish refugees that helped them escape the Nazis. And dozens of Sugihara survivors, including George Blumen's parents, ended up in Canada.
I would consider more Schindler the German Sugihara, because Sugihara had no personal gain in giving out the visas. No personal gain whatsoever. So he's a real hero from that point of view.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Thursday, August 5th, 2021. Welcome to the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Eighty years ago this summer, in July of 1941, George Blumen's parents, Nate and Susan Blumen, arrived by ship in Vancouver. It had been a perilous journey for the young Jewish couple. He was 25, she was 19, and they'd escaped from German-occupied Poland to Lithuania, which was then occupied by the Russians. The Blumens were able to leave and survive the Holocaust, thanks to Chiyune Sugihara and his wife. The Japanese diplomatic couple disobeyed orders from Tokyo, and they signed visas day and night from early July of 1940 to the end of August, before they too had to leave the country. Thanks to them, over 2,000 Polish refugees, mostly Jews, were allowed to transit through to Vladivostok and then on to Kobe, Japan, and beyond. Sugihara never spoke about what he'd done. It was only in 1985, after a survivor sought him out, that the story came out. Israel's Yad Vashem Museum granted the title of Righteous Gentiles. Sugihara himself died soon after. But in Japan, he's become a national symbol of human rights and bravery. There have been films made, museums opened, and beginning today, a large Japanese department store, Takashimaya, is mounting a special traveling exhibit in the country to showcase Sugihara and so-called visas for life. One of these visas belongs to George Blumen's late father. Coming up, we'll find out why he lent the father's visa to display and why he thinks Canadians should learn more about the man he calls a bigger hero than Oscar Schindler. But first, here's what's making news elsewhere in Canada right now. They're packing their bags and getting their COVID tests. 24 Canadian Jewish university students are preparing to leave for the very first Birthright Canada trip to Israel since the COVID pandemic started 17 months ago. This trip is set to fly out on Monday, and it's a much smaller group than usual, so the bus won't be too crowded and they'll comply with social distancing rules. Monday's group is one of only two on the schedule this year. Israel's got some new quarantine rules for incoming travelers from many countries, and they go into effect the day after this group lands. So far, the U.S. is on that list, but Canada is not. Two Toronto-based Jewish organizations have been granted some federal money to put together anti-racism programming. UJA is getting $375,000 to produce a campaign to stop online hate. Meanwhile, a group called LAAD Canada is getting $150,000 to train civil servants to be culturally sensitive when dealing with the Jewish community. This second group is led by a former B'nai B'rith spokesman, Sam Eskenazi. He does YouTube videos for the True North news channel. The money comes after the recent National Emergency Summit on Anti-Semitism. These two projects are among 90 that are receiving funding. Most of the others are Black, Asian, and Indigenous groups. George Blumen is an emeritus math professor at UBC in Vancouver. He's 78 now. And he's devoted the last several years to researching the legacy of the man who saved his parents' lives. and the lives of his uncle and aunt. Blumen was born in Vancouver, and he grew up surrounded by his parents' friends who were also Sugihara survivors. Blumen estimates the descendants now number approximately 40,000 around the world, although some reports put that number higher because so many of the survivors were yeshiva students who had large families. Dr. George Blumen joins me now from his home in Vancouver. So the whole issue of the Holocaust and Japan has a very personal meaning for you and your family because you are here because of Sugihara.
That's right.
And so they were two newcomers. Did they know anyone in Canada before? Why did they choose to come here?
That's an important part of the story. The Polish ambassador, Romer, for the Polish government in exile in London, he helped the Jews who were in Japan. He was the one who got the Canadian government to issue some permissions to come to Canada. And my father got it because he was a professional. He had an engineering degree. He was able to come. And so there were 25 such lucky people. And by the way, my mother was not, initially they would not allow my mother to come, but she was persuasive and was able to be one, to be added on to my father's passport. Many lucky things happened along the way. They did things themselves to take a risk, but also they had to be lucky. We don't hear about the others. Only about 10% took advantage of the Sugihara opportunity, and the rest essentially perished. And then of those who got the Sugihara visa, about a quarter didn't use it, and they perished, by the way. So you had this all the way down the line, this number's dropping off. Anyhow, so then...
Why didn't they use it?
Maybe they couldn't get through it, but they had cold feet. Mainly it was cold feet. They thought things would be okay. Who could believe what was going to happen? Even those who escaped in the first place had second thoughts. And there were very few escaped from Poland to begin with.
Now, apparently, I know you've been keeping a list of all the survivors and building this list. What are your numbers telling you about how many came to Canada at that from these visas?
There are about 300 that came to Canada approximately. This includes a large number came after the war because they were in Shanghai. When I was growing up in Vancouver, my parents had all these Polish Jewish friends. And I didn't know anything about Sugihara, but when I saw the Sugihara list, it turned out every single one of them, well, almost every one of them was on the Sugihara list. I never knew that they had any connection with Sugihara until many years later. The people who got the number of people that Sugihara saved directly was under 2,500, who actually survived, under 2,500.
You've been counting the survivors. Are there any survivors left at all in the world that you know of?
Oh, yes. There's a Sylvia Stoller in New York. She was a child. An old one in Vancouver. She was a child, a Kaplan in Vancouver, who is still alive. Yet they were children at the time. But there were, you know, there were very, very few children on this connected with the Sugihara list, because who could travel from Poland to Vilna and this whole journey with children? You couldn't do it with children.
Lots of people say that he was the Japanese Schindler, but in fact, you think that there is more to that label than we should know.
I would consider more Schindler the German Sugihara, because Sugihara had no personal gain in giving out the visas, no personal gain whatsoever. So he's a real hero from that point of view.
And yet he was treated so badly by post-war Japan until at least two decades later.
Well, almost all Japanese diplomats were dismissed after the war. And moreover, after giving out the visas, Sugihara remained in the diplomatic service in Europe. So if the Japanese government thought it was a terrible thing that he did, they would have dismissed him earlier, I think.
So have you and your family ever gone to Japan to trace the steps back, or did your family? Oh,
we've had a lot of contact with the Sugihara family. And in particular, my sister and her husband helped the oldest son when he had some difficulties. And my mother has attended meetings with them in San Francisco, and they had a special event here in Vancouver for Hiroki, the oldest son. And then I've had contact with people who've written various books in Japan about Sugihara, and I visited Japan and given talks about Sugihara in Japan. In fact, one of my talks was taped by the Sugihara family. And so I've met the Sugihara family a number of times. And then before the COVID pandemic, I was with my brother and a nephew in Japan for the opening of the Sugihara Museum in Tokyo. And we were the only family invited among the descendants. And we actually donated they have a loan of my father's passport there. And I was very honored to be a speaker along with ambassadors at the opening of that museum.
Is there anything else that you wanted our listeners to understand as we mark the anniversary of not only your families arriving in Canada, thanks to Sugihara, but also the visa days, which are, you know, at the end of July and beginning of August, when he was literally writing visas on the back of, you know, on the back of his hand as he was running around the city?
Well, first of all, take Sugihara as an example, not to be a passerby. When you have the opportunity to help some others, Sugihara, most ambassadors were just passerby. They didn't do anything, but he did. He had a chance to do something, and he took advantage of that chance, trying to help others. That's what I would have to say.
By the way, if you know some names that should be added to George Blumen's list of Sugihara survivors, you can reach him by email. The address is in our show notes. And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia, integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Today's listener shout-out goes to Malcolm Kelly of Scarborough, Ontario. Malcolm listens to the podcast directly through the CJN's website. And you should all go buy Malcolm's new book. It's called Sprog, S-P-R-O-G. It's a Second World War novel, and it's about the boys who trained as pilots in Canada for the RCAF, and one of the main characters is Jewish. And we'll end the episode with a sneak peek at an upcoming show. It's about why 13 people converted to Judaism together in Kelowna, B.C.,
We have lost our friends, wonderful friends. We have, you know, my family, my mother totally doesn't want to speak to me anymore. Saying to her that I'm now 100% Jew, totally, you know, broke her heart.